I'd like to welcome you to this service this afternoon. I know the family appreciate your presence with them. Rosemary and Stephen are very glad that you're here. We do pray the Lord will meet with us and bless us. We come to acknowledge the Lord is sovereign in life as well as in death. And we come around his word today to comfort our hearts and to bring comfort to Rosemary's heart and Stephen's heart especially, and members of their family circle at this time. It's always important to turn to the Lord's word. And I want to commence by reading two passages from the New Testament, one from John's Gospel, chapter 14, and then some verses from 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4. But commencing at John's Gospel, the 14th chapter, Christ is speaking these words to encourage his disciples before he goes to the cross and before he ascends to his Father. And in chapter 14, verse 1, we read these words, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. And Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And then verse 27 of the same chapter, Christ says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And then some words from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. Paul writes here, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." May the Lord bless the public reading of his precious word to our hearts this afternoon.
Please turn in your hymnal to 380 as we sing of the gospel that Mrs. Nelson believed. 380, "I love to tell the story of unseen things above." We'll ask you to stand as we sing this.
Jesus and his glory, our Jesus and his love, I love.
may be seated.
We're going to unite our hearts together in prayer. So come before the Lord to pray for his presence and his blessing with us in this service today. Let us pray. Our gracious God and our eternal loving Heavenly Father, we draw nigh to thee in the precious name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee for the one who has died and now lives in the power of an endless life, for the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the resurrection and the life. And as we have read in thy word already, from Christ's own mouth, we thank thee that Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto thee but by him. And our Father, therefore, we thank thee today for the access we have to thee in prayer through our Lord Jesus. We thank thee that Christ, having obtained eternal redemption for his people, has entered into the heavens with his own blood and now appears before thee on behalf of his people. And we thank thee that Christ is there as our glorious mediator, the risen, exalted Savior. We thank thee for the truth that we find in the book of Psalms, that the everlasting gates have opened up and the King of Glory has entered in. And Christ is there now at the right hand of the Majesty on high and prays for his people. We thank thee for the gifts that he bestows upon us. We thank thee, Father, today for every blessing that belongs to the child of God because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And our Father, as we gather in this house today and at this service, we do pray for a consciousness of thy presence with us. We pray for Rosemary and Stephen today, Lord, that thou wilt bless them, the members of their family, that, Lord, thou wilt encourage their hearts and comfort them through thy word. We thank thee for every remembrance of Mrs. Nelson. We thank thee for her faith in thee. We thank thee today for her love for thee, her love for thy word, her love for prayer, her love to ponder the beauties and the wonder of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee, our Father, for that day when you saved her by grace alone. We thank thee for the justifying grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And our God, we come today with thanksgiving, for thy word tells us that those whom thou justifies, you also glorify. And Lord, now she has been glorified, and we thank thee that for her it's absent from the body and present with the Lord. We pray, Lord, that thou would encourage the hearts of thy people with that glorious truth, that it is well with the children of God. Precious in thy sight is the death of thy saints. That Christ prays that his people might be with him to behold his glory. And when death comes, that prayer is answered, and we are forever with the Lord. So our Father, encourage hearts today. Challenge hearts as well. It may be some have gathered in this service who are out of Christ. We pray, Lord, today that thou would speak to them through thy word. And as we consider something of the glorious gospel of the Savior, that, Lord, thou would minister to saint and sinner alike. Bless every aspect of this service. We've gathered today to worship thee because we acknowledge that thou art sovereign in the giving of life and thou art sovereign in the taking of life. We think of Job when he testified, "The Lord hath given and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And although he was facing very troublesome times in his life, we read that he worshiped thee and did not sin against thee with his lips. We pray, Lord, today that we might come with a desire to worship thy great and holy name. And Lord, thou would keep us from sinning against thee. So abide with us now as we sing these hymns of praise, as we turn to thy word, as we meditate upon thy truth for a little time today. Lord, tarry with us, we pray. Fill this house with thy presence and thy blessing. Comfort sorrowing hearts, we ask. We pray today that Christ might have the glory and the honor. Abide with us. Do us good today, we pray. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please turn now in your hymnal to number 22 as we sing of our victorious Savior and his faithfulness to all of his people in both times of joy and of sorrow. Number 22, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Oh,
Going to read some further verses from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and commencing at verse 12 of this chapter. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 12. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Men say they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But that every man in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Finishing there at verse 26, and we do pray the Lord will bless his word to our hearts this afternoon. Before I turn to the Lord's word and bring the Lord's message, I want to assure Rosemary and Stephen of our love and prayers for them at this particular time. No one is going to feel the passing of Mrs. Nelson more than her daughter and Stephen. They have been with her, they've loved her, cared for her, provided for her, and in recent years spent much of their spare time either in the care home or at the hospital to be with her. And they've tried to involve her in so many different aspects of life, never leaving her out, wanting her to feel part of their lives as much as that was possible, sought to encourage her and be a blessing to her over these past number of years. To many of us in the congregation here, Mrs. Nelson was a dear saint of God, a pleasant, friendly, contented lady. To them, to Rosemary and Stephen, she was all of that and much more. She was a dear mother and a very special mother-in-law as well. And therefore her passing is going to be felt more by them than anyone else. And although Mrs. Nelson hadn't enjoyed good health in recent years, and the passing of Suzanne some years back was a very sad time for her, she remained very joyful and very cheerful in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in my visits with her at home or in the care home or in the hospital, I never heard Mrs. Nelson complain about the trials or the troubles that she was facing. She often smiled, she often laughed, often spoke of the Lord, often joined in with the scripture reading, and I loved to be prayed with and prayed for in those times of visitation. A member of this church for a long time, and that was much appreciated. She had a great love for the Word of God and a great love for Christ, who was her Savior. But on Tuesday night, she went home. She went home to be with the Lord. And there's a tremendous sorrow when loved ones pass away, and especially when that loved one is a mother or a mother-in-law or a loving father, and we naturally want them to stay with us. We want them to be with us a little longer. We hate the thought of that parting, the thought of them passing on. We hate the thought of not having them and not seeing them and not talking with them and not listening to them. And therefore, we want them to stay, and we sorrow when death comes, and that's very understandable. But there's a great mercy in the passing away of one who is in Jesus Christ, and that's something never to lose sight of. For sure we sorrow when a loved one passes, or what loved one who is in Christ, but we do not sorrow as those who have no hope. And those words are taken from the verses we read from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We do not sorrow as those who have no hope. That text suggests that there is such a thing as hopeless sorrow. It's referring to the case of someone who dies without Christ, and they face eternity without hope. And we sorrow very deeply when that happens, if someone has not left a testimony of saving grace behind them. But when a Christian sorrows over the passing of another Christian, it is not a hopeless sorrow. There's sorrow for sure, but there's comfort and there's joy in Jesus Christ as well. And death in that case, death in the case of a Christian, is a precious thing in the sight of the Lord. The Bible tells us it's a blessed thing. It's not punishment for sin, because Christ has borne that already. It's victory in Christ. And it's victory because Christ has gained the victory for us over death. And that's the great hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So to Rosemary and Stephen today, we pray the Lord will sustain you and bless you, comfort you and encourage your hearts. And may the Lord minister needed grace to your soul at this particular time. I've spoken there a little about the hope of the gospel and the hope that is the Christians because of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul speaks about hope in this passage that we've just read from in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In many ways, it is the great resurrection chapter. And I say that because in these verses, Paul not only details the certainty of the resurrection of Christ, he also gives us details regarding the consequences of the resurrection of Christ. And it's all in the context of Paul explaining what the gospel really is. Now, that's a question that has engendered much debate and much discussion. Just what is the gospel? What is the Christian message? Some will suggest that the Christian message is that we should simply love one another and do the very best we can while we live here on earth. Some suggest that it means we do all that we think we can do and hope and pray and trust that God thinks well of us when it comes to death itself. Some suggest the Christian message is a message of religion and meditation and charity and kindness. You do the very best you can. Love your neighbor, love your family, and be religious if that's possible in the circumstances you're in, and all will be well. That's what some think. It's how they imagine the Christian message goes. But when Paul comes to deal with the subject in this chapter, he tells us what the gospel is that he preached. And there's only one gospel, and Paul says that the gospel is that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried and that he rose again according to the Scriptures. It's a very succinct and powerful definition of the gospel. And you notice what Paul does there. He tells us this gospel is the message of the entire Bible, for it is according to the Scriptures. It's a message, the gospel message, the Christian message, is a message that centers on the person of Jesus Christ. It's a message that speaks to us regarding his life, his burial, and his resurrection. The fact that Christ lived and died and was buried and rose again. And that's very important because the gospel does not finish with a dead Christ. The resurrection of the Savior is one of the great certainties of history. It's one of the great cornerstones of Christianity, and it's one of the greatest comforts for the people of God to think that Christ has risen from the dead. Today we are faced with the reality of death. Mrs. Nelson's life on earth is over. She has finished her course. But is that it for her? Is that all there is for Mrs. Nelson? Is that all there is to a Christian life? Paul answers that question here in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 19, when he said, "If in this life only we have hope, the hope of the gospel, we are of all men most miserable." If that's all there is to it, we live and we die and that's it over, that's all there is, Paul says, then we have every reason to be sad. But that's not all. And I say that because Christ is risen. And the truth of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is a tremendous comfort for his people, especially as we consider the death of his saints. And as I look at 1 Corinthians 15, there are three facts that flow from the truth that Jesus Christ is alive. First of all, there's a word here about the return of Christ. The return of Christ. Following the Savior's death and resurrection, he met with his disciples outside Jerusalem. And when he finished talking with them, we're told that he lifted up his hands and blessed them and then departed into glory. The Lord Jesus ascended back to his Father in heaven. He entered heaven with his own blood to appear there in the presence of the Father for his people. And Christ is there at the right hand of the Majesty on high. The Lord Jesus Christ is not on the cross. The Lord Jesus Christ is not in the tomb. The Lord Jesus Christ is on the throne in glory. He is there as the exalted Savior. He is there as the victorious King. He is there in royal splendor. Christ ascended. The resurrected Christ ascended back to his Father's side. But there's coming a day when this same Jesus shall return to earth. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 23, Paul spoke here of Christ's coming. It was one of Paul's favorite themes. He says in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16, the passage you read already, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. There was a time when Christ ascended to heaven. But the day will come when Christ will descend from heaven. And there was no question in Paul's mind. In fact, no question in the mind of any of the apostles that Christ was going to come again. One of the great truths, the core truths of the gospel of Christ, the literal return of the Savior, the risen Christ is going to return. The risen Christ is going to come back. He will come according to his own promise. Isn't that what Christ said he would do in John 14? We commenced this afternoon with that passage. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I will come again. The Lord Jesus Christ has guaranteed such a thing. He has returned to the Father for a time. But the time will come when he will appear on earth for the second time. I don't know when that will be. No man knows the hour of Christ's return. Some have predicted it and they've got it wrong. But I know this, Christ is coming again. The resurrection of Christ guarantees that. What a comfort that is for the Lord's people. Christ is coming. He will come according to his own promise. He will come demonstrating his own power. When Christ came the first time, it was as a helpless babe. He was born of the Virgin Mary, laid in a manger, and as he grew older and walked through Galilee doing good, men despised him. As Christ went about doing good, they went about to destroy him. He was despised and rejected of men. They followed his ministry, some of them, but only to fight against that ministry. And then when the time had come, they took him and with cruel hands, they put him to death. They placed a crown of thorns upon his head. They spat on him. They scourged him. They mocked him. They crucified him. And those were days of Christ's humiliation. And what a spectacle it was. But when Christ returned, it will not be in humiliation. When Christ returns now to earth for the second time, it will be in exaltation. He will come in power and great glory, and every eye shall see him, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He will come according to his own promise. He will come demonstrating his own power, and there will be no mocking voices there. Nothing but holy awe, because the King has come. The King has come. He will come fulfilling his own purpose. not just according to his own promise and demonstrating his own power, he will come fulfilling his own purpose. Christ will appear to judge the ungodly and to reward the righteous. Can you imagine that? Christ is not coming to this earth just to see how things are down here. He's not coming just to see how things are working out. He's coming to take vengeance on those who do not know him, and he's coming to reward those whom he has saved by his grace. He will come with and for his own people too. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 tells me, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." The Lord's coming for his own people. He comes in glory when he comes in power. The king returns. Christ, the risen Christ, is coming for his church. It's the Christian's great hope. It's why we can face death with confidence. This is not the end. This is not the end. It's why the child of God can rejoice in the Savior, because the Savior is alive. It's why we can rejoice in his great salvation, because Christ is alive and Christ is coming again. While today our hearts are heavy, the hearts of this family circle are heavy, there's coming a day when we shall be forever with the Lord, because the King is coming again. There's a thought here, therefore, of the return of Christ. But 1 Corinthians 15 also gives a word and a message about the resurrection unto Christ. The resurrection unto Christ. Paul says in this chapter, "If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable." And then he goes on to tell us something more. He says, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming." Now what does all that mean? The first fruits of them that slept, Christ rising from the dead being the first fruits of them that slept. What does Paul mean when he says all this? Well, very simply, he means that when Christ returns, the bodies of all those Christians who have already died will be raised from their graves and united with their souls again, and they shall be forever with Christ. Speaks here of Christ being the first fruits of them that slept. That word slept is just giving us a picture of what death is like for the believer. So Christ is the first fruits of them that slept. The language of first fruits is taken from the Old Testament. The time of the harvest, the first sheaves were harvested and presented before the Lord as a token that the entire harvest would be safely gathered in. And what Paul is saying, he's drawing lessons from that Old Testament picture, and he's saying that as Christ is the first fruits of them that slept and Christ has risen, it's a token that all those who die in Christ will be raised from the dead also, and they shall be with him. Since Christ is risen from the dead and entered into heaven, so all his people shall rise from the dead and enter heaven also. Christ's resurrection, Christ's entrance into glory, guarantees the resurrection and final glory of all his people. Because of Christ, the saints of God will be glorified. Mrs. Nelson passed away on Tuesday night. Her soul went to be with the Lord. Her body is before us today. We're going to place it into the earth. But on the resurrection day, her grave will open. And she will have a new body. And body and soul united will be forever with Christ. There's a resurrection unto Christ. She will be perfectly, fully, completely glorified. Her body, redeemed, will be evidently brought forth. And she shall be with Christ. Why am I sure of my place in heaven? Not because of what I have done. Not because I'm a Free Presbyterian. Not because I'm a pastor. Not because my parents were believers. I'm sure of heaven because of my salvation through the risen Christ. It is Christ that guarantees this. It will be, therefore, for the child of God, a day of triumph. It will also be a day of transformation. Paul goes on in 1 Corinthians 15. We didn't read the rest of the chapter. But he says in verse 51, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep." And he's talking now about death again. "We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, when the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law." When the bodies of God's people rise from the grave and we are transformed and changed into the likeness of Jesus Christ, the cry will go up, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" Christ has gained the victory. And those who are saved by grace and in union with Jesus Christ will know the joy of that glorious resurrection morning. But Mrs. Nelson is raised again, and she will be, because she died in Christ. She will have a new body, a body fit for glory, a body like Christ's perfect body. This is not just a New Testament theme. You find it in the Old Testament, Psalm 17, verse 15. The psalmist says, "As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness." There's the thought of sleep and wakening. And on that resurrection day, the child of God will awake, and he shall be like Christ. There's a resurrection here that's based upon the resurrection of the Savior. You see, it's well with the child of God, not just in life. It's well with the child of God in death, and it's well with the child of God in all of God's eternity because of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15 deals with the return of Christ. It deals with the resurrection unto Christ. It deals also with the reign with Christ. When Christ returns and his people are raised from the dead, we will sit with him and we will reign with him. Paul tells us we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And he says here in this chapter, "Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet." Christ is the reigning Savior, and his people will reign with him. It's a glorious prospect for the child of God. Not because the child of God has done anything by him or herself. It's all of God's grace. Came across words of a hymn last evening. "Jesus lives and so shall I. Death, thy sting is gone forever. He who deigned for me to die lives, the bands of death to sever. He shall raise me with the just. Jesus is my hope and trust." Jesus lives and reigns supreme, and his kingdom still remaining, I shall also be with him, ever living, ever reigning. God has promised, be it must. Jesus is my hope and trust. Jesus loves, I know full well. Not from him my heart can sever. Life nor death nor powers of hell, joy nor grief henceforth forever. None of all his saints is lost. Jesus is my hope and trust. Jesus lives, and death is now. But my entrance into glory, courage then, my soul, for thou hast the crown of life before thee. Thou shalt find thy hopes were just. Jesus is the Christian's trust. Jesus lives and death is nigh, but my entrance into glory. Mrs. Nelson has entered into glory. What a joy is hers. It's well with her. It's well with every child of God. In life, in death, and in eternity. Let me ask you this question. Do you know Christ? It's a sobering thing to come to a service like this and consider the reality of death. I fear sometimes we can come to times like this and not really consider death. Not consider our own death. Not remember that it's appointed unto men once to die. And after this, the judgment. For the child of God, death has lost its sting. It is but our entrance into glory. We look forward to that day when we shall be with Christ. The unsaved death is a terror. It's a last enemy. It's a fearful thing. So I pray today that you'll take heed to these words and think on the resurrected Christ. The gospel, Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. He was buried and he rose again according to the scriptures. Jesus Christ is the only one who can deal with our sins. He is the only sacrifice, the only substitute, the only Savior. And it's my prayer that if you do not know Christ as your Savior, that you would come to know him today. May the Lord encourage our hearts through his word and bless this family through his word and especially through the consideration of our risen and exalted Savior. We're going to have a word of prayer together in the name of our final hymn. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank thee today for Jesus Christ. We bless thee for his perfect life, for his sacrificial death. We thank thee that Christ was buried. We thank thee that Christ truly died. But we rejoice today that Christ lives again. That up from the grave Christ arose and has gained a mighty triumph o'er all his foes. And he lives. He lives forever. He lives and prays for his people, lives and saves his people, lives and builds his church. And this same Christ who ascended to heaven will one day return in power and great glory. And all who are his shall be gathered unto him. For unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Father, bless thy word. Comfort Rosemary's heart today. Remember Stephen too. Remember, Father, the cousins and the family members that you'll undertake for them and bless them. Bless this congregation. Bless thy word to every heart. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please turn now in your hymnal to 636. My Savior, first of all, will ask you to stand as we sing. 636.
My Father, first of all, will ask you to stand as we sing. 636.
standing.